Whenever you're stubborn and you refuse to hear God, he has to send something worse to get you to turn around. America, hear me. If we don't hear God here, it's going to get worse. If we don't stop bickering politically, it's going to get worse. If we don't stop killing innocent people, it's going to get worse. If we don't stop calling wrong right and right wrong, it's going to get worse. If we don't get a sense of justice, irrespective of who it is, it's going to get worse. God is going to get our attention, and I don't care what it takes. The bush is going to burn until you turn aside.
Yes, sir. Bless you.
Let me go on record that God is a just God. He's against all injustice. He's against all immorality. I'm not speaking to the guilt or the innocence of any man. I'm talking about the lack of due process of law.
Yeah.
If there's not due process, there can't be justice.
Yeah.
While you arguing about maybe there's another side to the story, I'm arguing about they never even arrested the man in the first place. And they will snatch me in jail if I go 2 miles over the speed limit. I'm talking about justice. And so something has to be done. Not only in America, it's around the world. Inequity, people starving to death beside people who live in mansions. It's inequity in every sphere of life. I'm not talking about having enough or even more than enough. I'm talking about having such a surplus and employees can't get a raise. I'm talking about big companies paying off stockholders and off the backs of people who are making minimum wage, who can't even pay their rent, working for you every day. Something has to be done. With injustice, something has to be done. When the people who protect the city can't afford to live in the city they protect, something has to be done. When I have to drive an hour to get to work because I have to stay out of town to find something cheap enough to accommodate the wages that you pay me so that I can come in and protect you in a city, and you don't respect me enough, away with your flowers and your songs and your God bless you and call me a hero. I don't need a title, I need a raise. Whatever injustice goes on long enough, after a while, God will have to do something to get your attention, to make you appreciate people that you look down on. They should have went back to school. They should have got more education. And all of a sudden, we're thanking God for truck drivers and checkout girls and people we were looking down our nose on. God has a way of getting your attention. And the bush started burning. And nobody could stop it. It burned into the hotel business, and it burned into Hollywood. My God, it burned. It burned into the music industry, and all the concerts were canceled. It burned into the opera houses, and all the opera singers had to sit down. It burned into New York, and all of a sudden, Madison Square Garden closes down. And all of a sudden, everything begins. It burned into Vegas. It burned into Florida, and all the snowbirds had to come home. It burned and kept burning and burning. This is a burning bush.
Yes.
Moses saw a burning bush, and the Bible said he turned aside to see. And that's all God wants us to do, to turn aside to see. See, that means to change direction. In order to turn aside to see, you have to change direction. That's all repentance means. Repentance does not mean tears. It does not mean crying. It has nothing to do with emotion. It means changing behavior, changing direction, changing direction. And burning bushes always require a change of direction. I was on the phone with a bunch of preachers, and they were telling me we need to all get together and all pray at the same time, and they're going to distribute prayers, and we're going to all read prayers on Sunday morning, and we're going to pray about it, not knowing that Sunday morning was about to close down. And when they got through having this big conference call, these global preachers, real big, important, significant preachers, sincerely trying to do something to stop the pandemic from coming, they asked me to have remarks and do the benediction. And when they started talking about the plagues of the Bible, and so forth and so on, and that the plagues were stopped through prayer. When I got down to the benediction, I said, I just want to insert something into your thinking. It was not the prayers that stopped the plagues.
Come on now.
It was the repentance.
Oh.
We can all pray the same prayer at the same time, but if we don't change our behavior, the plague is going to continue. times we glorify the prayer, but the prayer was not the point. It was not the prayer, it was the repentance. It was repentance that stopped God from destroying Nineveh.
Yes.
Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible said Nineveh repented. And because Nineveh repented, judgment was spared. It was repentance that will turn it around. Repentance will make the angel put his sword back in his holster. Repentance will stop the plague. Repentance is the change.
Preach it.
Yes. So in your life, periodically in your life and in my life, and in your life, and your life, and your life, and your life, there have been burning bushes.
Yes, sir.
Look back over your life. Every now and then, something started burning and would not be consumed.
My God.
And God used it to get your attention.
My God.
I wouldn't be a Christian today if it weren't for burning bushes.
Yeah.
Burning bushes made me humble myself. Burning bushes made me shut my mouth. Burning bushes brought me down to my knees. Burning bushes stopped me from thinking too highly of myself. Burning bushes humbled me down from thinking that I knew everything. Burning bushes, stuff that don't make no sense. A burning bush that will not be consumed is something that happens in your life that don't make sense. And you cannot ignore it. And you cannot stop it. And you got to deal with it. And it'll make you throw your hands up, and it'll make you get down on your knees, and it'll make you get on the phone and call people you normally ignore, and it will make you stream online to get a word from God because you got a burning bush in your life. And it doesn't have to be COVID-19 to be a burning bush.
No.
For some people, a burning bush is breast cancer. For somebody, a burning bush is a divorce and a broken marriage. For somebody, a burning bush is the death of a loved one. It doesn't have to be an international calamity to be a burning bush. The whole world did not know that Moses' bush was burning. And the whole world might not know, but you got a burning bush in your life. A private display of God's insistence to get your attention. An undeniable declaration of I'm going to have your attention. If I have to get it in a wheelchair, I'm gonna have your attention. If I have to get it in a hospital room, I'm gonna have your attention. If they have to cut your legs off, I'm gonna have your attention. I'm gonna win this fight.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm talking about burning bushes. And Moses turned aside to see. And what amazed me, even though I've read it many, many times and preached on it many times before, is the conversation that ensued. God told Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. It was holy because God was there. That's the only thing that makes a place holy is because God is there. Your living room could be holy if God is there. You could be in the shower, it could be holy if God gets in there. You can be in your car, if God gets in the car, it could be holy because God is there. It's not holy because it's got pews and stained glass windows and crosses and pictures of somebody's idea of Jesus on the wall. That's not what makes it holy. It's holy because God is there. Take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. God's going to make holy ground in your house, holy ground in your living room, holy ground in your apartment, holy ground in your car, holy ground on your break, on your job. God said, wherever I am, holy ground. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the first time that God says that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has never referred to himself as being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob until Moses. He does not even tell Jacob that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, he told Jacob that his name was not Jacob, that his name was Israel. But God does not say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, I'm not just the God of the best in you. Yeah. See, Jacob was not the good part of Israel. Jacob was the trickster, the con artist, the supplanter, the racketeer. He was like his family, Rebecca and Laban and all of them. Jacob was the part that wrestled with God. Yeah. And Israel was who he was destined to be. And God said, your name is really Israel, and you're a prince, and you have power with God. But every prince has got a Jacob. So all of a sudden, when God gets ready to identify himself, the God who told Jacob that your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being the God of Jacob. Thank you for being the God of the worst part of me. Thank you that I don't have to hide my Jacob. Thank you that you love my Jacob. See, I know you want to argue with that, but God, who commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The theology is absolutely right. God does not love you because you are holy and because you read your Bible and because you go to church all the time and you fast on Thursdays and you only eat collard greens on Wednesdays. God does not love you because you sing in the choir and you work on the usher board. God loved you when you were lying and cheating and stealing and whoring and hanging off a pole and doing striptease in a cheap hotel room. God loved you when you were shooting dope up your arm and laying in gutters and alleyways and burn the hair out of your nose. God still loved you when you were high, and God loved you when you were locked up in jail, and God loved you when you were in your perversions and your filth and your muck and your mire. God loved you in the decadence of your life. God didn't wait till things got better to love you. He loved you in your mess. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Take off your shoes. Take off your shoes, because the ground you stand on is holy ground. You ain't holy. You ain't holy, but the ground is holier than you. The ground you stand on is holy ground. That's how God started his conversation off with Moses. And they start entering in the conversation, a God and a man in a desert alone. Can you imagine a God, a man in a desert alone? And there he is having a conversation with Moses to help Moses understand who he is. And God begins to tell Moses what all he's going to do with him. Now you must understand that Moses is a murderer. He's a convict. He's on the run. He's an outlaw. He's hiding on the backside of the desert. And God found him. You can't go nowhere where God cannot find you. If you make your bed in hell, he is there. If you ascend to the uttermost parts of the earth, he is there. I don't care if you're locked up in the bottom of a jail cell, God is there. They can put you in the inner sanctum of a prison, God is there. They can fly you off to the mountain peaks, and God is there. You can be an astronaut and fly away out of the earth's orbit, but God is up there too, and he will find you and flush you out.